Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Well, 6 months have gone by. This is July 1st. Can you believe it? This year is moving rapidly. Maybe it's the events that are happening that make it move so rapidly or has made it move so rapidly. Everything's happening every day. Everything seems to be upside down. Everything seems to be confusing. In any event, half the year is gone, my friends. Tonight, if you wish to call in and talk with me, the number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. The number's on the screen in front of you. Please call me, talk with me, agree with me, disagree with me, express your opinion. I would be happy to hear from you. I'm going to start tonight with what I think is one of the worst Supreme Court decisions I have ever seen or read. Remember, I am an attorney. I'm a retired attorney, well over 50 years I've been an attorney. The Supreme Court decided a case yesterday involving Obamacare, which said that certain employers cannot be forced to provide contraceptive coverage to its employees. Contraceptive coverage is the word. Okay? Here's the way this game went, or the scenario went. The company is Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby sells toys. They employ 13,000 people in more than 500 stores nationwide. So with 13,000 employees, let's assume half are women. 7,000 of them are women. Under Obamacare, a corporation must provide, as part of the policy bought for their employees, they must provide, as part of that policy, contraceptive coverage. Why not? Women have been paying for their pills for years for birth control, and they're very expensive, whereas under certain policies, men are getting Viagra and Cialis for nothing. The balance came with the law. Women should have contraceptive coverage. It's very important to them. Most women in this country at one time or another practice contraception. I cannot believe that a big mass of women would stand up and say, I never did it. They would be lying. Okay, so here's what happens. This corporation's a small corporation in the sense that it's family-owned. And it's for profit. They're in business to make money. That's important to the decision. And I think the family constituted five family members who own the corporation. The court said, you know, where it's a corporation, even though it's for profit and even though it's a corporation, if it's family held or just held by a few people, like five or less, we must respect the rights of the owners. And if the owners of this corporation feel, this small corporation numerically, feel that it would violate their religious beliefs if contraceptive coverage were provided, then they should not have to do it. The government has to find another way. Well, the term contraception is used, but it really isn't contraception in the decision. Here's why. There were something like 20 different types of contraception that were available under Obamacare, under the insurance policy involved. Only four of them have been precluded. The ladies still have available to them 16 other types. However, anything that might cause an abortion, and there were only four that might do that, like the morning after pill, intrauterine device, my God, for how many years have women used intrauterine devices? Any of those things which could be considered abortive in nature, contributing to abortion, you can't do it because that violates their religious beliefs. So these women can have any of the other 16, but if they want a morning after pill, an intrauterine device, it is a no-no. And the court decided this 5-4, by the way. The conservative group, five men, the minority were three ladies out of the four, and ladies should know best. The men said, this is the way it should be. This is, you know, a closely held corporation, a family bit. I think hypocrisy abounds in this decision, and the hypocrisy abounds with Hobby Lobby, the people who made the application to the court. Let me tell you why. Number one, Hobby Lobby's been in business for years. They provided insurance to their employees before, male and female, and it just so happens that under the policy of insurance, they provided before Obamacare they did, in fact, provide contraceptive and abortive coverage for the pills and the intrauterine device. It wasn't abortions per se, but the pills and the intrauterine device. Now, all of a sudden, when Obamacare is doing it, it becomes a political issue. These are far-right people. That's their right, though, to be ultra-conservative in their political beliefs. But why do I call this hypocrisy? Not just for the reason that they did it before, but another reason is they sell toys. This is their business. Hobby Lobby sells toys nationwide. And where do you think they get most of their toys from? They get their toys from China. Now, we all know that in China, contraception is a big deal because every family is limited to one child in China. So the women are required to practice contraception because if they get pregnant a second time, then under the law, there are forced abortions. A woman must have an abortion with a second pregnancy. Now, that's a part. You're buying from these people who support abortion, support contraception. You're making your money off this. I assume you're making a good profit off of it, or you wouldn't be employing 13,000 people in over 500 stores. But you don't worry about it. Why don't you go buy your toys someplace else? You're saving a buck in China, that's why. But the rules in China violate totally what you believe in, and that's why I think you're hypocrites, and this is hypocrisy on its face. Now, let me stay with this for a moment. They based their decision, the court, on the religious freedom of the owners, this handful of people, these five people that own the corporation. And this is religious freedom to choose what is inside a woman's body, okay? What is in her vagina, what is in her uterus, they're interpreting or they're determining whether this pill will prevent the sperm from matching up with the egg or prevent the egg from attaching to the uterine wall because you cannot have pregnancy without an attachment. And our courts are now into all this kind of stuff and determining freedom of religion. I don't think God intended this. I don't see this anyplace in the Bible. And the other thing is religious freedom. When the Constitution was adopted, created in 1780-something, 89, I think, had to do with you came to this country because you wanted freedom of religion. You wanted the freedom to practice to be a Calvinist, to follow Knox, to be a Lutheran, to be a Presbyterian, to be an Episcopalian, to be a Catholic, to be a Jew. And you came here to practice your religion unfettered. The government couldn't tell you what to do. You had the right to have your own church and go to it, and nobody could discriminate against you or treat you adversely. That's what it was all about. Nobody back then said, let's look up a woman's crotch. Let's see what's going on inside her body. Let's talk about the sperm attaching to the egg. Why have we gone this far? I think we've gone not just a step too far, we've gone miles too far in making decisions of this nature. The other thing is, and you should be aware of this, the court did not decide this case on constitutional grounds. It decided it under a statute that was passed 21 years ago by Congress called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which says basically that the government, Obamacare's the law by the government shall not substantially burden a person's exercise of religion. In 21 years, this statute has always been applied to a human being, that kind of a person. This is the first time in 21 years it has been applied to a corporation, which ain't a for real person. I don't care what the Supreme Court said. It's a creature of statute, something we create with paper. This is no different, my friends, than when two or three years ago, the Supreme Court decided under Citizens United that a corporation was a person for purpose of political contributions. So now you have General Electric, you have Boeing. They can spend millions of dollars in a political campaign for a candidate, and you can spend that kind of money if you got it by giving it to a PAC. But you and me, we ain't got it. So we generally, if we're lucky, are able to contribute $2,300 a year. How do the, and this is the 1% and 99%, by the way, how do the 99% compete with the big cats who are contributing millions of dollars now to elect people because our Supreme Court said a corporation is a person? All this, my friends, has to do with the Republican conservatives, the ultra-right, and, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I used to hear all the time, because we had more Democrats on the Supreme Court, that the court was too liberal. They were creating law. They were activists. They were making law. Well, the pendulum has swung. These judges, these Republican judges, were supposed to be there to not make law, but apply the facts to the Constitution. They're not doing that anymore. They've become as bad as the liberals were 20, 30 years ago, if not worse. They have become activists. It's time for the pendulum to swing. And it's not going to swing unless you have a Democratic Senate the next time and you have another Democratic president, because that's the only way you can replace these people. Which brings another point to mind very quickly. I have been saying for 3 years our Supreme Court should not be appointed for life. I don't care what the reasons are behind it. You can't make people absolute in any position. They're like kings up there, and they can do whatever they want, and no one can touch them, okay? No one can oversee them. They can oversee Congress. They can oversee the president, but no one oversees the Supreme Court. I think they should be appointed or elected, better appointed, but for a term of years, 2 6-year terms or something. Because too long is too long, and this is what happens when it is too long. Which now brings me to an issue of competence. Gallup has come out with a recent poll, and Gallup has been around, I'm going to be 79 years old Sunday, and my lifetime I've always heard of Gallup and their polling. They're a responsible, reliable organization. They just came out with a new poll. They said that the confidence of the people of the United States is way down, is falling with regard to their government. We know that Congress sucks. Only 7% of the people think Congress is doing its job. Only 29% of the people think the president's doing his job. Well, here's a number you never hear. Only 30% of the people think the Supreme Court's doing their job. The people have lost faith in every part of their government, including the Supreme Court that is making these decisions, which I believe are oppressive to the women of the United States, are oppressive to the political process. Okay, now I got another hair up my butt, if you'll excuse the way I put it. Let's look at Syria, Iraq, ISIS, and al-Nusra. Al-Nusra you ain't ever heard about before. We're in Iraq now. We shouldn't be there. We got out of there in 2011. The president said, what, 2 weeks ago he's going to send 250 troops in just to guard the embassy and so forth. We're up to 750 in 2 weeks already, 750. And it's going to be just like Vietnam. Every week there's going to be more and more. Before we got so many in there, we were going to be fighting that war we fought for 10 years again. Okay? Now, screwy times we live in. Maybe we have to do this. I don't think so. This is a religious war over there. It is a civil war. These people have been fighting forever for thousands of years. Leave them alone. Let them kill each other. Maybe 10, 20, 50 years from now, the dust will settle, and they will have gotten together and formed a government that they all can work with. But it's not our place, our business, not worth one American life. That's my position. Okay, now we got this new group, ISIS. They came out of nowhere, ISIS, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and they claim that they are they're going to create the government or have become the government of part of Syria and all of Iraq. And they're crazy. There's only 7,000 or 8,000 of them. They kill people en masse. They execute 100, 200 people at a time and dump them in common graves. They behead people. They rape the women when they reach the villages. When they take over a village or an area, they rape the women. That's part of the victory, you know, part of the spoils of victory. Rape the wives and the daughters of your opponents. We're supporting these people. I'm going someplace. Stay with me here. Now, Al-Nursa. ISIS, by the way, 2 years ago, Al-Qaeda didn't want to have anything to do with them because they said these people are crazy, and Al-Qaeda threw ISIS out. Well, now ISIS is powerful. They're very rich. They got about $2 billion. They robbed a bank in Mosul when they took it over last week and got $429 million out of the bank. Every place they go, they rob banks. They're extortionists. They go just like the mafia. They used to do. They go to businesses and say, you're either going to pay me X number of dollars or I'm going to blow up your shop or kill you. And they got a ton of money. The last report was about $2 billion, which helps because now they can have more soldiers. They'll pay their soldiers, whereas the other groups can't afford to pay them. Anyhow, there is this. I'm laughing because this is so stupid. But in Syria, there's a group called Al-Nursa. Al-Nursa is the Al-Qaeda branch in Syria. You hear me? Al-Qaeda's branch in Syria is Al-Nursa. They are called Al-Nursa. ISIS and Al-Nursa got together in the last 3 or 4 days and announced that they were forming the separate government called the Islamic Caliphate for northern Syria and all of Iraq together with it's ISIS and Al-Nursa. So now ISIS is in bed with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's in bed with ISIS via Al-Nursa. And what does our government say over the weekend? Our government said, you know, we've got to help the moderates over in this war in Syria. Moderates. Because they know there are crazy people, there are less crazy people, and in between you got a group that's sort of crazy, which they call moderates. They may be Al-Qaeda, they may be not. I don't even know if they know they're Al-Qaeda. They've got to know. But anyhow, our government now wants, Obama wants to do this. He wants to give $500 billion to the moderates in Syria, which will be a contribution to ISIS and Al-Nursa, Al-Nursa being the Al-Qaeda branch in Syria. We just killed Osama bin Laden, what, a year ago? We hate Al-Qaeda. Look what they did to the Twin Towers, 3,000 lives lost. And now we're sending these people $500 billion? We've got to be crazy. Get the hell out of there. Don't send anybody over there. I don't care how important they say it is. Let other people worry about it. Not our headache. Not worth one American life again, I say it. Again, this is a civil war. Let them go behead each other. Let them execute each other, shoot each other, and rape their own women. Not our business. I feel strongly about it, as you can sense. There's something else that bothers me, I got three things that bother me big time now, because I think they reflect poorly on my country. We have 52,000 children that have come across the Mexican border, swam across the Rio Grande, or came in rubber boats, and came into Texas illegally. They came from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, where they left for their lives and a better life, to save their lives and seeking a better life in this country. What are you going to do with 52,000 kids that have come here since the first of the year? They're still coming across the border. It's anticipated that by the end of the year, it will be 90,000 children. I'm talking from children less than a year old up to 17 years old. They just come here. And what are we going to do? We're trying to take care of them. We've got them sleeping in warehouses. Some have blankets. Others are sleeping under sheets of, aluminum foil. Because it's been determined that if you lay under a sheet of aluminum foil, the heat is reflected from your body and you keep warm. We don't have enough showers for them. We don't have enough toilets for them. We're feeding them. But nothing's being done right. We're shipping them all over the country. We still don't have it organized. Obama's trying. Friday, he sent a letter to Congress saying, I need $2 billion to take care of this problem. Congress, this is Tuesday. Congress still hasn't acted. They should act fast on this. I mean, if there was a humanitarian problem like this in Istanbul, in Syria, in Afghanistan, McCain would be on his tiptoes saying, send the money. It's humanitarian. We got to help these people. They're here in this country. It's our headache. And it bothers me that the Republicans have not yet reacted, and I don't think they're going to react favorably. If they do, it's going to take some time. We're going to look like horses' asses to the world, and we're not going to be treating these kids properly. Because let's look at it. The whole world's looking at us. This is the first time we've had a humanitarian crisis of this nature. They are accustomed to it in the Middle East and in Europe because people are always coming across the borders in droves looking to get away from a war or something or some kind of oppression. First time it's happened in our country. How are we going to deal with it? Are we going to do the right thing? I don't know, and it worries me very much. Obama asked, but the Republicans in the House of Representatives have to give, and they ain't given yet. The other thing that bothers me, see, we're coming down in the eyes of the world. We're not the America, the light on top of the hill anymore. Over the last 10 to 20 years, we have come down that hill. We're getting down into the grime and mire, my friends, like some other countries. Let's look at Detroit and Michigan, okay? Half of the people, now let's start. Most of the people, if not all of them today in Detroit, are African Americans. They're poor. They have no money. Detroit's in bankruptcy court. All right. Did you know, I talked about this last week, that half of the people, half of the homes in Detroit don't have water because the water company, if you can't pay your bill, turns off the water. I understand that. Under normal circumstances, that's the way things are. These people aren't working. They need water. You cannot survive without water. You need water to drink. You need water to flush your toilets. You need water in our society, in any society. Well, the people got mad, the black people of Detroit, and some of them went to the United Nations. The United Nations announced this week, okay? The United Nations is telling the United States of America that the failure to provide water to these people in Detroit, to turning off their water, was a violation of their human rights? What a shame. I think this is the first time we've ever been charged with a violation of someone's human rights. And the other thing is, they said about African Americans, that the way we treat them in Detroit may be discriminatory. This great country of ours, the United Nations, is slapping our wrists, saying it may be discriminatory. Which brings me to another interesting thing about Detroit. Did you know that 1 in 3 pregnancies, remember these are primarily African Americans without money, 1 in 3 pregnancies in Detroit ends up in an abortion. It may be a legitimate type abortion, a doctor, you know, done properly, or it may be done with a metal clothes hanger like it used to be done in the old days. Why? Why is this happening? It's happening because the people are prolific. They're going to be prolific everywhere. Look at Africa. People have AIDS, HIV, and they still have sex. And we send tons of contraceptives over the United States to hopefully to cut down, and we have cut down, the number of pregnancies there because we know people are going to have sex, and we don't want their babies to be born with AIDS. Okay, we do for them. But we're not doing in Detroit. What's happened is there's not enough. We're not sending contraceptives to Detroit to help them. What we do for others, we're not doing for our own. There were 18,360 pregnancies last year in Detroit. 5,693 ended in abortion. That's 31%. Between the abortions and the large number of pregnancies and lack of condoms, that's the reason everyone gives. They don't have enough condoms. And the situation of turning off the water and the UN saying we're being discriminatory towards African Americans, I think we're starting to look like a third world country. And we are, no question about it. We're starting to look like the countries we have been criticizing for years. Okay, let's get away from this stuff. Let's talk about something that you and I feel every day when we go to the supermarket or the gas station. Beef prices are on the rise. Beef prices are on the rise. I've been talking about this. I told you that in April I reported that beef prices went up 4% in 1 month. That's the most they've gone up in 10 years in 1 month. And then in May they went up 3%, which was still a lot, but not as much as 4%. Since 2009, listen to what I'm saying. Since 2009, in only 5 years, beef prices have gone up 76%. Beef prices have gone up 76% since 2009. Your incomes, if you have an income, have not gone up 76%. You're lucky if your incomes went up 7%. The reasons that are being given for the rise in prices, I think, are a crock, but they're saying the prolonged drought in Texas and now in Southern California. If you have a drought, the grass doesn't grow, the herds don't have enough to feed on, so you get fewer steers, fewer cows every year. And if you got a smaller herd and you still have a large demand, the supply is small, and you got a big demand for beef, the price has to go up. And they're further saying that if we can eliminate the drought problem, it will take 3 years for the herds to get back to replenish themselves before the price of beef can stabilize or come down. Now, number one, the drought, in my opinion, is global warming. It's happening all over the world. Not sufficient grass for feed for animals is being grown anywhere. Even in Mongolia, there was an article recently. The sheep are dying because in the winter, they don't have enough fat on themselves because they didn't get enough grass in the summer to eat. They're dying out in the cold. Global warming that the people who own these cows won't admit to. Because here's what I think. Big companies own these cows, these steer. They own these big cattle farms. You know, we're talking about the major agri-company businesses, agri-farms that grow the beef, and they have monopolies. There's only four of them in this country. I forget their names. I've talked about them in other weeks. The names aren't important right now, but there's only four companies that control the beef in this country. They put the beef in the supermarkets where you shop, and they don't care. I don't know if the reason they're given is for real, or they just, because they have a monopoly, they want to charge more and more money because they are a major corporation, and why not charge more? They're in business to make money. The bottom line is profit. The other thing you are aware of, but I want to drill it into you some more. The cost of gasoline is the highest that it's been since 2008. The cost of gasoline is the highest it's been since 2008. This is another joke. Let me say this, though. It's 40% cheaper than it was in 2008, 40 cents a gallon cheaper than it was in 2008. But still, at 40 cents cheaper a gallon, it's the highest it's been since 2008. And here we are coming up on the July 4th weekend. People are going to be on the road. We're told, well, it's because what's happening in the Middle East, everything's uncertain. Every time when ISIS did something, robbed the money from the bank, when somebody drops a bomb on Syria, whenever anything happens, the price goes up. The only trouble is we now, for the first time in the history of this country, are exporting more than we are importing when it comes to petroleum product. By the end of 2015, we will not be importing, the experts tell us, any more gasoline. We're going to produce it all here. Why has the price got to go up and stay up? It's a crock. Is any reason so the big oil companies can make a profit? That's my show for the week. I hope you've enjoyed. I hope you've learned something. I hope I have not offended you. I've been a little strong on some items this week. I thank you for listening to me and to my thoughts. Remember my book, The World Upside Down. It's available on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. com, The World Upside Down. If you like the show, you'll love the book. If you don't like the show, don't buy the book. You will not like it because I tell it the way it is. Thank you again for joining me. Have a good holiday weekend. I look forward to speaking with you again next Tuesday night.